I called him up, and he says, "You're calling the business agent." He says, "I'll call him in, provided you promise me you won't hit him."
Now, who was the business agent?
His name was also Sam Levine, but I never called. I'd only call him SB.
Oh, he's the one you told me.
I never called. I was a goody goody. I mean, the guy that we buried today, he was, at least he was, he gave me plenty of trouble too, but all right, he's dead. So, he says to me, "I can't do nothing for you." I said, "You can't do nothing for me?" I said, "You don't have to do nothing for me." And there was a glass window, and then I slammed the door and broke it. So I figured they'll bring charges against me. I was waiting for it, you know, I was waiting. I didn't want to do what this guy did. Now, well, I figured within the organization, if they bring charges against me, I'll open up. There was not a word spoken. I said, "There's nothing been said with the human."
Well, Sarah, the sequence was that the shop you were in, Factory B, closed down.
No, Factory C closed down.
And that's where you had been working.
Then they transferred me to Factory B. See, Factory. This guy, you find amongst the souvenirs, among the scripts, I call him an SP. I give his name. See, I don't want his name mentioned no matter what I'll do, because his son is on the general executive board. He's still alive. He's a nice guy. His father was a 1910 striker. But he did. He had to run away. He had to run to Russia because what he did to the girls. I mean, he was absolutely rotten to the core.
So he was the business agent for Factory
B? No, he was chairman. He was head chairman. See, that was after I was business agent and I was shop chairman.
Well, Sarah, so he was head chairman in Factory B then?
Yeah.
I see. So then you were working in Factory B. That's where the trouble was?
Yeah. So instead of, they didn't know what to do anymore. So where it would take four people, they put in 10 people, just to get me disgusted. But the rank and file, I always had the rank and file with me. So at noontime, I'd sit up in the middle of the shop at the table, and people would congregate around me, and they couldn't stand it. So that's how the trouble started. As I say, if I would have been one of these goody-goodies and I wasn't.
It was more of a direct. It was a personal attack. It was a personal battle on his part then.
Well, yeah, sure, it was personal. They were afraid of me. See, they were afraid that I was getting too much power, and I had no intention of using my power, not the wrong way, anyways. I didn't know what it meant. All I wanted if that woman there sitting there and pulling basting, and she's got her half of her finger, that she should get a decent rate for it. And that's the only power I wanted. I never put up a fight for myself.
Well, Sarah, what exactly happened in the factory then? The shop closed down and everyone was out of work, and then you knew that there was work at this other place?
Sure, there was work. See, they put 10 people in this shop. And they made my life miserable with suspensions, complaints. And over here they were working overtime in another part of the factory. So I came there, and it was the same thing.
Oh, well, you went to San Luis to be transferred to the other car?
Yeah.
And he transferred you then?
Well, after a harsh battle, Hillman came in. I don't know what happened after that. But then I got sick. Again, after all, I couldn't. I was no horse after all. And I stood on my nerve. I carried on my nerve all these years. That Dr. Overstreet told us in the class, there is no such thing as a strong willpower. I agree with him. But there is strong determination in a human being. Don't call it willpower. I call it determination. I know it was difficult for me to learn a trade, to learn a new section. It took me more than it did the average one. But once I mastered it, you couldn't beat me. That's it. That was it. And it was the same thing with whatever I undertook.
Well, Sarah, who was the one? Well, first of all, how did Benny Blenzel get involved here? What was he doing?
He was the son of a bitch.
Now, was he a chairman too?
He was. He was the chairman of Factory B, yes. But that's what I showed you, the complaint slips.
Well, I couldn't tell who they were signed by. It looked like it was signed by someone Schwartz. It was hard to read it.
No, not it wasn't Schwartz. It was Katz. This is Factory L.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get from C to L?
See, this is so much. There's another one in there.
Both of these are the same.
You see?
Yeah, they're a couple of months apart, though.
The other one was the suspension that I got.
The letter to Levine. You were suspended before the slips, I think, weren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were suspended March 9th.
Yeah.
Oh, so Benny Blenzel was the head chairman in.
You see, the thing was, let me tell you what was. See. When they closed up Factory C, none of the shop chairmen wanted to have me. The irony. And then I'm going to show you letters from the very same chairman that didn't want me. What I'd done for them. It's almost unbelievable. But as I say, I never judge people what they did for me or what. It's hard to explain. But anyways, when they closed up Factory C, none of them wanted to take me. Then Brandon said, "Let me have her. I'll take care of her. I'll handle her." So he handled me.
So that was in Factory B.
Yeah. Well, so you put in, or should be four people, you put in 10 people, I couldn't make a living.
Now, this was your fella again?
Yeah. Well, on top of it, my work was no good. Nothing was good. All right. So I asked for to be transferred. And the other one didn't want me. The other one was Louis Allett.
Oh, no. So later he's in L.A. Sorry.
That's in Factory L.
Okay.
Now, I have a stack of letters from Louis Allett. I brought him out here to become manager. I pleaded with Frank Rosenblum to he should be. See, before he came out here, nobody dared to go near the union office because they had the Red Squad here. Nobody dared to go near the union. It was such an anti, you have no idea. I conducted a strike here. I wasn't allowed to be on the picket line. I had to give individual credentials to the strikers.
So he was the chairman in this L then?
Yeah, he was chairman in Factory L. But he was put later on as an organizer. But he didn't want to. No. Where was I?
You want to stop for today, Sarah?
No, I'm... How much more do you want?
If you want
to... Round it up.
Okay,
see what you want.
So in Factory... Now, how did they get rid of you from Factory B? In Factory B, you were suspended.
Yeah. I was transferred to Factory L.
Now, was that after you went to see Levine? So you wrote the letter to him after your suspension.
So
he got you transferred?
Well, anyways, what difference does that make? That doesn't make any difference. I went to factory B to Factory L. Mm-hmm. That must have been 32, 33.
34, it looks like.
34? Mm-hmm. Where is that complaint again? All right.
One complaint is late 30. The complaints are even later. One complaint.
No, it's the irony. I'll show you the complaint. The complaint by this manager, where he offered me money when I came out here, if I'm hard up. It's such a unbelievable world. And here this Allett that he says he doesn't want me, and I made every effort to get him out here to be manager. Then he says to my friend Hilda, he says, Hilda, he thinks that I'll make a good business thing. I bring him out here. I didn't know.
Well, Sarah, at Factory B then, you got sick and was, according to the letter you wrote Hellman, you had to take 6 weeks off because they were giving you so much trouble.
Yeah, did I?
Now, what happened in the meeting with Sam Levine when you went to see him?
Well, I think I told you, I broke the window.
I mean, nothing, he wasn't going to help you.
Well, what happened then, he said, I can't do nothing. And I liked him. As I explained to you, I liked him, as a human being, liked him better than Frank. The same week he got a heart attack. I thought I'd die. See, I didn't want to have anything like that on my conscience because, all right, I knew that he had to do certain things because of these bastards. So nobody was supposed to allow to see him. He was in the hospital, and Petovsky took his place. I went to the hospital, I snuck up, and there was Bessie Hillman. Anyways, I disregarded all rules and regulations. Again, my way of doing things. I went in there, I hugged and kissed him.
Well, Sarah, do you think that he held against you, you having sided with Frank Rosenblum in that struggle in 1923?
Well, he certainly didn't relish it. He couldn't relish it. But he was more of a father type. He was more forgiving. He wasn't, as I say, See, I wasn't the general run of members. I had to figure things out for myself. You could tell me 1,000 times this is right and this is wrong. But if I didn't see it that way, you gotta show me. I'm from Missouri. But you see, now what he did, for instance, what Sam did, when they came in with reductions, a human came in and they hit me over the hand. I raised my hand against. I held my hand. You have to pay $500 to give us a reduction. It was a very rude of me. Everybody says yes, and I say no.
Well, Sarah, what happened then? Then you talk about he's in the hospital, I guess, when you wrote Hillman. Levine was already in the sick.
Yeah.
And then you went to Factory L, and they had this clique.
Yeah.
That took all the work.
Yeah.
Now, what was all of that about?
That was in 1934.
Well, you wrote the letter to Hillman in September of 1935.
1935.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you finally got to Al. And Al is where this other Sam Levine was, this other business agent.
Yeah.
I see.
He was visiting in the other place too, and they took care of him. I used to take care of him. So he took.
So what finally happened? Then you wrote Hillman. What happened after your letter to Hillman? When he came to Chicago, did he meet with you about it?
I was working already, I suppose. I didn't bother.
Because he wrote back to you saying...
If it isn't straightened out...
That he talked,
yeah.
But you don't remember, you never did meet with him?
No, I... when it came down, regardless of what happened to me, evidently the organization must have been some sort of a plight. Because no matter what happened to me personally, when the organization was attacked, and he'd come in, I would stand up and fight everybody that would say anything against the union. That's why they... He told them at the board of directors meeting, he said, is there any way the Fed is fighting for herself? Damn it, he said, speak up. He said, so I know what the score was.
So you know, so it,
no.
It just dropped then. Did things get better in the shop?
It got better. It got better to such an extent that I made so much that I couldn't use all the coupons that I made. I gave it to the chairman there. See? And then it got bad again. It was a big Russian guy. And they started horsing around again. And I was planning to come out here and feel together. I said, damn it, you're going to drop that here. I'm going out where the sun is shining.
So when did you first think about coming back out?
Out here? I've been thinking ever since I was out here at 30.
Oh.
I kept thinking about Los Angeles often. I had no business going back to begin with. But I went back because of the local. I didn't want to see the local go to pot. And it went to pot anyways. Unfortunately.
So, after they started giving trouble again, you decided, the hell with it, you're going to come to California.
Well, it became too much for me. The house, my father, I took care of him. I go into that later. See? In 1930, see, I came out here in 1930 originally, because I wasn't well. I mean, I told you about that. When I came back, my father was with one of my sisters. When I came back and I looked at him, he was dying. His legs were swollen. He was filthy. He was such a clean. I'll bring you down the picture. I'll show you. He was natural. My mother wasn't a housekeeper. My father used to sweep. He'd sweep under the rug, but he'd sweep. He'd keep things orderly. He didn't like an upset. I looked at her. I said, I loved my mother, but I always respected his knowledge. I had no special love for him. I looked at him at that and said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. So I went to work, and it seemed to me that he was reconciled to, he was in bed. I guess my father should give up. I went to work and I rented a home on Pullman Avenue, right near the shoe. And I says, I called the doctor. First thing I did, I tore off everything from him, put clean underwear, clean everything, put him in a clean bed. Everything new. He was in seventh heaven. Well, listen, to work and take care, I put him on his feet. And then, in the meantime, you see, I told you that I was running for all of them, and he used to sit up and wait for me. 12 o'clock when there's a certain prayer that the rabbis perform. 12 o'clock, they call it chassos. I don't know the interpretation of it, I couldn't tell you. You have to look it up. And he would make toast with garlic and leave it on the table. It would get me, I loved him. He'd sit up and wait for me and argue with me about daily politics. He would argue from a religious point of view. Then he'd end up, he'd say, it's a sin to argue with him. I'd say, yeah. And I would argue my way. In the meantime, he wanted to get married. He was past 80. Well, and I offered a woman $500.
Oh, he had a definite woman in mind.
No, there was a woman who was after him. he was shy. He was barefoot. And she fell in love with him. Well, she wanted me to marry her son.
Did he get married then?
No. See, I didn't want to marry her son.
Oh, that was the only bargain?
Yeah. She didn't want the 500. She wanted him to marry her son. He was a...
So... So you put up to him then? You put off coming back to California then because your father was living
there? I left him in the home. But I put everything, furniture and all. And I left the student there with him. And I know he couldn't last without me. Because every holiday, Sukkot, you know what Sukkot is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd sleep in the Sukkot, he insists. And he'd catch cold, and I would take care of him, put him in hot water and rub him with alcohol. Anyways, I always bring him back to life. The fact is, when the last day of his life. Is there a letter from Sarah?
Well, Sarah, what finally made the push then to get you to, for you to come out back out here in 37 then?
In 38, I had.
38?
Yeah. See, I wanted to bring him out.
Oh, you were going to come out and then have
yeah, I told him that. Yeah. I had heart sailing when I came out here. Terrible. I couldn't get anything to do, and I wasn't 12. I had $800 in an old reel. I had $1,000, and then I said, no, I don't want to go to the county hospital. And by the time I got on my feet, he was gone.
Oh, I see.
So I would have brought him up. And he lived on those homes. Mm.
Sarah, what I want to talk about next time is your trip out in your old reel.
What?
What I want to talk about is your trip out in your old reel, and then beginning with with L.A. and what happened here.
Oh.
But I want to ask you about, when did you write that story about looking for a job where that you used Hilda, the name Hilda?
Well,
was that when you were at Brookwood that you wrote it?
No, I was out of Brookwood already. You see, I was... I sit down any time, whenever, and it was, I think I was going to the Lewis Institute for a couple of nights a week.
What was that?
The Lewis Institute was a school, night school. I had a couple of nights spare. I was trying to clear my head from all the, I thought if I go to school and get myself together, So I wrote that story.
Well, so this was about that same time that you were having all the trouble in the shop.
Yeah. Well, that's a true story. I mean, I'd like to find a story that I wrote for Polly Colby. She cried so. The Aroma of Bread. And that's a true story. I can't find it. I look for it. I came into her. I said, let me read it to you before you correct the English, and the spelling and everything. So she started to cry. I said, no. Don't change anything. But she got through with it. I couldn't read it anymore.
Now, Sarah, before we stop, you mentioned Lillian Hurstein.
Yeah.
From Greenmore, you were going to tell me a little bit more about her.
What do you want to know?
What
do you want to know about her? She was a wonderful person. She was a dedicated teacher and a friend of labor. And by the way, I understand that Browder just died last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she was deadly in love with him. You know Bob?
No. So, was she a communist?
No, she wasn't. No, she hated communists. She wasn't a communist. She was in love with him. I wasn't there. Was she there, Charlie? This is purely hearsay. But I had Lillian Hurstein. I've got something about her. I'll come across. I'll show it to you. First, we had her. We used her in our local. Then I'll never forget. You see, one. I think this was in the Hall House. We had a class. I don't remember what it was. It was labor education. Anyways, it wasn't purely amalgamated, but I happened to go to that class, public speaking, that's right. Mm. I spoke in socialism. not a worker's instinct. I think it was the horse, family, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And the class applauded. She got terribly mad. She says, "Why don't you go out in the street? What are you trying to do? Convince us? These are all socialists. It's easy to convince. Go out in the street and convince them. How many did you convince on the street?" You're right. But even in Bryn Mawr, we didn't see eye to eye. She wanted certain finer things, and I wanted the ordinary things for the what's good, what I felt be good for the working girl. Both stargazing. I mean, it's nice. If you have a nice lover, go in the woods and make love. Sure, it's beautiful, I know that. I mean, I'm not immune to those things. But to make a study of it, in a short time, 2 months' time, you want to... So...
She was the head of the Bryn Mawr program?
She was, yeah. I don't know whether she was the head or not. I don't recall. But she was a big chef. There was so many of them. I slept there and I poked fun. I was such a tease and I had no mercy at these names here that I showed you. I didn't want to sit on soft chairs. I said, I'm not used to sitting on soft. I sit in the machine, hard chairs.
You always had a needle then, huh?
It wasn't right. After all, I was their company and shouldn't be so rude, but...
Sarah, you didn't
they accepted me anyway.
You just stayed for a couple of days at Bryn Mawr during this planning thing. You didn't stay for the whole summer, did you?
No. This was a special conference. No.
This was just to plan the curriculum?
Yeah. We planned the curriculum. We made outlines. And we made certain suggestions. And I think in the last analysis, my program was adopted. More or less. And I wouldn't say less, more. I say more or less. It was, after all, it was common sense. I explained that. Now, look, I don't care. This one is a hosiery worker. The other one is a shirt operator. The third one is a pants operator. I said, it's, as I'm telling you, it's nice to know. It's sure. Given the basic things of labor movement, history, a little, all of it, you can...
Now, was that when they were just beginning the Bryn Mawr Summer School, or they were changing?
No,
that had been going on?
No, the Bryn Mawr started in 1920.
So they were thinking just about changing the program?
Well, they made changes every year, and they... I've got some pictures, I think, from the first year. Some of the girls that were sent. My friend Hilda was there. She disappeared. Then that was in 1920.
Sarah, before we stop, you mentioned in the letter to Hillman that some people offered to pay your railroad fare to go back east to talk to him about all the problem you were having in the shop. Were these the women in your local who were supporting you in your fight there in the shop?
No. What? Those are office workers that asked me. I went back on a visit to Chicago.
When you wrote to Hillman, at the end of the letter you say, "P.S. Certain people offered to pay my railroad fare, at least a part of it, so that I could take a trip to see you personally in New York. But I believe that you will get the gist of my grievances and handle them the way you know best." You don't remember?
No, I don't remember. I suppose it was so. I suppose.
Well, when things got better for that little period of time, do you think he had put pressure on somebody?
Oh, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. They wouldn't tell me. No, they listen. They put through a good many of my requests and recommendations. Never let me know about it. So as I say, I never cared. I put in a system. I was the first one to put in a system of douche collecting. Never mentioned. I don't know. They used to, was originally they collected douche under the table, you know. It was an active member, even in late years, they harassed the active members. If it wasn't from the bosses themselves, but the underlings. Now, I just got reread this. Let me just spell for these. Yeah. Kirschenmama, he's full of condensed milk. Now, you see, he wrote this. I don't know where in the world he must have money or something to publish. He was a fence maker. He's criticizing. You see, he tried to get outside help to down the union. Now, that's something.
Oh, is he the one that wrote you the letter? That wanted to publish the letter?
No. This is. I just came across it amongst. I just came across it amongst my souvenirs. Now, this is something that I would never do. He's criticizing the impartial chairman, Dr. Elijah, about the unemployment insurance. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's accusing the business agents of such a nonsense that I know they can do a lot of dirt, but not what he's talking about. I think he wanted a job. He didn't get it, so he's mad.
So probably Hillman put some pressure on and that they let up a little bit.
In my case, yes. That must have.
Okay. Sarah, I want to put allegation.
She was very helpful in organizing the women's movement. Mary Richardson.
Was she working in the shop at the time?
No.
Or she was just mainly an organizer?
She was an organizer. Mm-hmm. She was a social worker in 1910.
Oh, she was never in the shop?
No.
Oh, I didn't realize it. Now, who's this other woman?
That's Fanny Mailman. Also, she was also a social worker.
Oh, so you were the only shop woman in this?
Yeah, but these men were all from the shop.
They were all local 39?
This is He was manager in Milwaukee. Amalgamated. It's sticking out here.
Yeah, it looks like it's Ocean Park.
Yeah, it's out here somewhere.
Yeah.
And this is in Boston, I think.
Philadelphia, it says.
Philadelphia.
Now, is this the Chicago delegation?
Yeah.
Now, who are all these other women?
Yes, Clara Leon there.
Oh.
The Secretary of Treasury. There, the most of them are all there. Fefe. This is my secretary from the local.
That's that was Anna Snyder?
No, Ray Levin.
Oh, now, Sarah, I came across another Ray later. Did she marry?
Yeah, she's married. She married, she says she doesn't want to. She wants to have a. She doesn't want to have a. She doesn't want to be a Miss Rosman. She wants to have Mrs. in front of her. Here's my family. It's part of my family. It's This is Brooklyn.
Yeah. I notice a lot of the women all wore the same, style knickers.
This is Dr. Calhoun. This is my friend Hilda.
Oh. She's certainly sad looking.
Young girl, 26, she died. Give me some money. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Oh, and this one I like.
Oh, yeah. That's my friend Rose. That's her daughter. Listen.
Sarah, where was this taken?
At a picnic in Chicago. Yes, Chicago.
Oh, the outfit is really something.
This is in Brookwood.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the Becky Brothers. I wonder if she's alive. There's my friend Hilda. Yes, she's a nurse. Here's the Anna Cachula, that's the one.
Oh.
That's her baby. This is the best. This is the English girl.
Yeah, this is a nice one, too.
And she's Italian. This is taken out here. This is taken in 30.
Sarah, is this Brookwood, too? Is this what the buildings look like?
Yeah.
That's where you slept?
Yeah, that's a downtown.
Mm.
This is Mount Wilson. And this is Long Beach.
Now, is this outside the Union Hall, this picture?
This is Chicago.
Is it outside the Union Hall?
Yeah. And this is that doctor's mother. That's my
friend. That's your friend. Uh-huh.
And this is, I can't think of her name. She's Nenekis. She's the one that told me about Emma Goldman and Berkman.
Oh, way. She's the one who used to get all the books from.
Yes, she's a kid. This is in Arizona. I had a hard time. My God, he followed me all the way to here. She said, well, telling you, I could never get him in, and if I did, I couldn't get rid of him. Damn it, the hell. I don't know why. I had 6 other sisters. But she's a baby.
Now, was this on your way out here with your car?
This